Let's begin by side. This week is Parashas Truma. Parashas Truma, we begin with to talk about the construction of the Mishkan. Now, there's a question here. There's a question. I want to start with called a Velz Kasha. I never knew it was such a big Kasha until I saw a very nice write up about this question in Rabbi Zicherman. There's a very good sefer we use here sometimes called Teloy Satoira. Okay, right side. There's a sefer called Teloy Satoira, and he presents the following question. Parsha begins with a call for donations. Right. Okay, there's a nice, what we all do, donations, money, it's all about money. Vicholi Truma, and there are 13 things that the Torah enumerates, 13 items. Vizois ha-truma shartichu meitam, zahav, gold, bochesef, silver, unchoishes, copper, sacheles, v'argamon, v'soyla shani, v'sheish v'izim, v'oyres helim v'odemim, v'oyres tachoshim ha-seh shitim, shemelam ha-obsem, v'zom ha-mishko, v'kis ha-samim, avnei shem, v'avnei miluim, v'leifon v'lachoshen. Rashi over here says he will count all of them. Yud gimel devadim ha-murim be'inyan, in this inyan. V'zohav, v'chesef, v'choyshes, v'chol ha-menuyin be'inyan, kulam chutzruchu l'meleches ha-mishkan, oy lebigdei kuhuna kishe tidakdek bohem. Okay, all of these things were needed for the Melechas HaMishkan. Every single item listed over here, if you'll go and you'll study the entire structure of the Mishkan, all of the big dekun, you'll find what we need. And Rashi goes on. And Rashi says, with regard to the silver, let me find exactly where this Rashi over here is. Kulam zohav chesef v'nechoshes, kulam bo b'nedava, ish ish ma shenad v'liboy, chutz min hakesef. Okay, Shabob b'shav machsa shekel halachot v'loy motzinu b'chol meleches hamishkan shuutzoch shom kesef yoiser. They did not need any more kesef. Okay, the kesef b'kudu edom. I'm reading further. U'sh'or hakesef habos shom b'nedava. These are the key words that we're going to focus on now. It's a very, very important Rashi. Pasuk Gimel. U'sh'or hakesef. Habo shom binedava os uhu liklei shores. Okay, what was the purpose of the silver? So Rashi says there was machsa shekel. First, he says the previous pasuk, there was a lot of silver. The adonim were made from silver. There were certain that they needed silver for
the final tally. Moshe had
the vavi hamudim were silver. The adonim were made from silver. There was silver. We'll find silver all over the Mishkan, just like you'll find gold. There was gold. The chashukehem were silver. The amudim for the chotzer had bands of silver.
Isn't the lashon of the pasuk very strange? It shouldn't say the chul. It should say the yitnuli.
Okay, that you're taking for yourself. That's a different vart. It's a whole different vart. It's a very good idea. Maybe we'll talk about that. But let's focus now on this one Rashi. Rashi here says they collected silver. Why do they need silver?
But not as part of this collection.
Zahav chaz nuchayshes kulam bo b'nedava. Everyone gave silver ishish chutz min hakesef. The kesef did not come as a nedava. Shabo b'shov machzis ashrei chol echad. Silver came, was not a gift. You had no choice. You must give. There are certain. It was a mandate. You have to give a machzis ashrei. You don't have a choice. Everything else, you want to give, give. You don't want to give, don't give. Silver, again, these are powerful rashi. Kulam bob and nedava. All of the 13 items came as a gift. Ish ish ma shenad v'libay. Chutz min hakesef. That's not up to you. That's a mandate. Chutz min hakesef shebo b'shove. Equal. Machz ha-shekel l'chol echad. V'loy motzinu b'chol melechas ha-mishkan shechut shach shom kesef yoiser. And that was enough. Whatever silver they collected was enough for what they needed silver for. They needed silver for what? They needed for the adonin, for the sockets. That was made from silver, pure silver. And they needed silver for the hooks. V'loy motzinu b'chol melechas ha-mishkan shechut shach shom kesef yoiser. Shenemar, the chesef b'kudei ho'eda, tells us the number. That was the machzis ha-shekel. Everyone had to give. There was no choice. But Rashi acknowledges people were allowed also to donate silver on their own. Usha'ora kesef habosham binidava, that came as a gift. What do they need that kesef for? Oh, they use that kesef to make osuhu l'klei shares, for utensils that were shares that ministered, that were used for service. So let's clarify what Rashi over here is saying. There are 13 items listed. No one was forced to give anything. It was your goodwill, your good heart, your free will allowed a person to give some gold from Techeles, some Argomon, Avnei Shoyam, Avnei Meluim. No one was forced. No one came to your home and shook you up and demanded. The only thing they demanded from every single person is to give a machzis shekel. And that machzis shekel, the Torah tells us exactly the tally, how much it came out to me for all the members of the entire Jewish people. And it tells us exactly what that machzis hashekel was used for. It was used for to making the adonim, the sockets, and it was used for the hooks that they used to hang the hooks. And they also, I'm assuming maybe they used some of that silver because it says they needed silver, chashukehem kesef, on the amudim, the pillars that surrounded the Chotzer HaMishkan, there was also a small amount of silver. And that's part of the Malachas HaMishkan. They used that, that's what it says. It was collected by force. But Rashi says, but there was other silver that was given by people as voluntarily. There were people who stepped up to the plate and says, listen, I have over here silver. Here, use it for the Mishkan. What did they use it for? They use it for clay shores. This is a Veltz kasha. What? Clay shores? Show me in the entire Mishkan any utensil, a kli shores, a kli shores that was silver. A kli is a utensil. The adonim are not adonim. Adonim, we know the adonim came from the machzis shekel. So they're out. The hooks came from the machzis shekel. The silver that was used to circle the chashukehem, they had the pillars, and the pillars were circled with silver. Like circles that went around, well, the very decorations on the top, silver. Maybe that came from the donations. But that's not called a clay shares. That's called a pillar. That's not called a clay shares, it's a pillar. A pillar which has a deck, it's not called a kli. So, what is Rashi talking about? Define for me silver that was given as a donation by a member of the Jewish people for the Mishkan that was transformed into a utensil that was used in the Mishkan.
Where did they make the bowls?
Gold. When it comes to the menorah, when it comes to the menorah, all of the utensils of the menorah, it says beferish nepasik were gold.
Yeah.
The tongs and the all of the different things. I don't remember all the different things. The forks and the shovels, they were made from the choshes. The Torah very clearly tells us all the different utensils. What are the bowls? The simple understanding is the bowls that they used to be makabel the dam were nechoshes, were kappa. That is the simple understanding. Copper bowls were used to collect the blood of the korbanos. That's the way most of the mafarshim learn. Maybe there's even a pasuk. Now this is not my kasha, this is a Veltz kasha, okay? And this kasha was presented to many gedolei Yisrael, and they all are scratching their heads, and it was Zichrimin, this big fat sefer called Piloy Satoira, he did his homework, this person. He basically comes out Tzoruch im Godol Admoid. Okay, he even asked Chaim Kanievsky this question, and they told him all of the suggestions, and he said that they're wrong, that's not cannot possibly be, that's not what the klishar is. And I don't think he had an answer. No one knows. This Rashi is a plea. This Rashi says the people they in the Mishkan, they collected silver, besides the machzis shekel, and it was used for clay shores. One of the very nice answers that someone suggests is that in the Oroin, we know at least in time, we know there were Amudim, basically Atzei Chaim. And the Sefer Torah, I was recently involved in buying Atzei Chaim. Right, Davin on Shabbos, the Rashi, he asked me on Simchas Torah, one of the Atzei Chaim broke. So he asked me if I can take care of it, if I can go and I can order new Atzei Chaim. So I got him a catalog, and he took care of the rest. So the incredible catalog, I can have it on my phone. Incredible. The cheapest Atzei Chaim is probably, I think, $500. Is that the cheapest
silver,
one?
You mean?
No, I'm talking about wood. I'm talking about, I think, $600 is the cheapest. The cheapest. And it goes up to, I think, $12,000. $12,000. What?
They go as a pair.
Of course. It goes as a set, of course. And the most expensive thing was $12,000 silver, beautiful silver. A whole catalog, unbelievable. Everything is custom made. Gorgeous. Outstanding. Doing brand new. Outstanding. You can't even imagine the whole industry. Atzei Chaim. So you know where that comes from? It comes from the Gemara. The Gemara says in the Gemara that in the Aron HaKodesh, in addition to the Luchos, and in addition to the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, there were two Amudei Kesef. The Gemara says this. Pillars of silver. What were the pillars of silver? That if they wanted to read from the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, they would attach it to Atzei Chaim, what we call today Atzei Chaim. There were Amudei Kesef inside the Aron HaKodesh, which again, in the Aron was the Luchos, and was the Sefer Torah Shekos of Moshe. So Gemara says, and there were two Amudim, silver sticks. For what purpose? To read from the Sefer Torah. Not like today we have the Sefer Torah ready on the Atzei Chaim. But in the Mikdash, there was the Sefer Torah, was rolled up, was not attached to anything. If you would want to read from the Sefer Torah, you would take out the Sefer Torah and you would attach it to these silver Amudim, and you would read from the Sefer Torah. Whenever they want, maybe a Hakel, they read from it then, or whatever it was. So someone wanted to suggest, that's the Kli Sharis. That's what Rashi here is referring to when it says that there was silver. There was silver. The other silver that was collected was used for Kli Sharis. That's what it refers to. Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita says, cannot be. That's not called the Kli Sharis. He says, no, that cannot be. So others want to suggest, I think what Dr. Stern was suggesting, he was saying that Dov, right? Dov was suggesting is that we know in the Gemara says that they had in the Mikdash 93 kalim. There was a set. You buy a complete set of china on Amazon, right? You can buy a complete set of kalim in the Mikdash. There were 93 kalim that were used in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash. We assume in the Mishkan also. Who says they were all made from copper? The assumption is they were made from copper. Who says? Maybe some of those kalim, those bases that they used to mix, to make the menachos, the meal offerings, they used to be mekabel the dam, they used for the different korbanos, maybe they were from silver. Okay, so maybe that's what it's referring to. Okay, so someone has made that suggestion. But we don't really know. It's a difficult question. Is it this? I want to give you an answer. It can't be an answer because no one thought of anything that I didn't think of. If I didn't think of it, so other people thought of it and they rejected it. But anyway, I want to go tell you what they rejected. Tell you an idea of a machshava of what it represents, of what it is. Now, first of all, we have to understand what is the symbolism of gold and silver. So gold, typically in the eyes of Chazal, represents Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin, gold is harsh. Silver usually represents, in the world of Machshava, Maral type of Machshava, Rachamim. And it's based on the literal meaning, the root word of Kesef. Kesef is always very, very common among the Bali Machshava to define the word Kesef, to interchange with the word Kisufin, an Aramaic word which means yearning, to yearn. It connotes emotion. A person has Kisufin, has pangs, has like love pangs, has this emotional... What, sorry?
Selfness.
Ki nechsoif nechsafti. Nechsoif nechsoif nechsafti. What?
Doesn't that mean embarrassed?
I don't know. So it represents emotion. Kisu in Aramaic, in Chazal's terms, they say kesef is called ki sufin, a yearning, an emotional bond. Zahav, I don't know where it comes from, but zahav represents midas hadin. Din, kesef is ki sufin. Okay? And therefore, yearning always is associated with rachamim, the need of rachamim. Okay, that's our hakdama. Now, I want to go to the end of the parasha. End of the parasha says something very interesting. It's a very interesting Rashi. Okay, what I'm telling you is this drush. It's obviously not going to be the pshat because I'm not going to say something that someone else didn't already think of and didn't already understand. At the very end, the last pasuk, being mechaber now at the beginning of the parasha, end of the parasha. The very last pasuk of the parasha, it says, Lechol kilei ha-mishkan. All of the kelim of the Mishkan, b'chol avoidosai, b'chol yiseidosav, all of the pegs, b'chol yistoisechotzer, the pegs of the courtyard, nechoshes. Now, when it says nechoshes, that's not. Is that going on the entire pasuk? Maybe. Let's see what Rashi says. Rashi says, L'chol klei ha-mishkan. What does it mean, L'chol klei ha-mishkan? What does these words mean? Shehoyu tzrichin liha-komosoi ulehoi-rodosoi. In addition to everything that you see in the Mishkan, there are more kelim that are sacred. And these are the tools that are used to assemble and disassemble the Mishkan. When we learn about the Mishkan, they show you a model of the Mishkan. So they show you the Mishkan, they show you the Kelim, they show you the Bidi Kahuna, and they show you, if you're lucky, they show you the unique Kelim of each one of the Kelim. The Menorah had a collection. It came with a set of Kelim. It came with something to remove the tongues and this and that. All different. There are different Kelim that are associated with the Menorah. Likewise, the Shulchan. They were the molds, the pans that were used to actually make to bake the lechem aparim, and there were the bazichim. Every one of the kelim had its own set of kelim. The mizbeach had shovels, pitchforks. Each one of the kelim had its own kelim. But there's another set of kelim that's not even described, that in a certain sense is the ultimate kli, and that is the tools that we use to actually assemble the Mishkan. When Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan, we said Moshe Rabbeinu put the Mishkan on, when they travel in the desert, the Levim, they disassemble it. How did, when you put up your sukkah, don't you use a screwdriver?
Maybe this was more like a Lego set.
No, so Rashi says not. That maybe we would think that. Maybe you would think that it was so easy to assemble, you don't need any tools. Like, you go on Amazon, you buy some type of thing, you don't need any tools to assemble. You can just put all the pieces in with your bare hands. So maybe indeed that's how the Mishkan was assembled. You did not need any tools to assemble the Mishkan. So the very last pasuk of Parshas Truma says that is a mistake. It says here, L'chol kilei ha-mishkan. And what are we talking about? What already have we, what are you coming to hear that we did not already know when reading the parasha? There's no repetition of the parasha. So Rashi says, what is l'chol kilei mishkan? Shayu tzrichin lehakomosoi ulehoirodosoi. Kigoin makovois. They needed a hammer. How are you going to put, how are you going to, you have to bang the crushing together. You need a hammer. Litkoya yisedois, to bang in the pegs. The amudim and the pillars. There were tools here, he gives kigoin, for example, which means there could have been more kelim. When they put the crushim together, and you have to go put the clamp to connect the crushim on the two crushim on top, it goes into a slat, and you push it in. Did it just go in so easily? When you put together your sukkah, does everything just fit in so easily? Sometimes you need to take a hammer and give it a zest to push it into place. It doesn't automatically, everything doesn't fit in automatically. There was a set of tools that were needed to construct the Mishkan. And then it goes on to say,
so you're saying those were made of silver.
Now, what I'm saying is not as a doichik, because the pasuk says the word nechoshes. The last word says, now here's the question, what is the word nechoshes going back on? L'chol klei Mishkan. B'chol avoid asoy. What does it mean, b'chol avoid asoy? Rashi, it means the entire, all of its work. V'chol avoid asoy. V'chol yisei doisav. V'chol yisei sechatzer nechoshes. The pegs. Now that means that when they put up the curtains around the chotzer, they put the curtains the curtains around in the chotzer. They stuck the curtains were put down into the ground with pegs. Rashi is very elaborate about the pegs. Kimin nagore nechoshes. These were nails of nechoshes asuyin liyuyay soil lekali chotzer kishulim bimesodim with ropes. You look at the picture books. The oil, the curtain, the chotzer hamishkan, what we call today the azara, in the midbar was a curtain. Big, massive curtain. The dimensions were 100 amos by 50 amos. And they were held up by pillars. And then they put curtains connecting to these pillars. The pillars were 5 amos apart. And then they took string and they tied the bottom of the curtain down to the ground by taking copper pegs and banging the copper pegs into the ground, and they tied string to those pegs, and they tied the other end of the string to the curtain to keep the curtain down in the ground and should not blow in the wind. Rashi says this, kimin nagorei nechoshes, nails of copper. Rashi is very specific. He says they were copper. Rashi makes an emphasis of copper. Then Rashi goes on, I do not know if they were able, these nails, they were just like paperweights, or they were thrust into the ground. Rashi concludes they were thrust into the ground. Okay, fine. Now, I want to make a drush, and it's a little bit of a double drush, and it could be what I'm saying is going a little bit too far, but remember the question. The question is, it's Sorek Ian Godel Ad Me'oid, that it seems that there is no, that no one, we have not yet found a satisfactory answer. So, everything's up for grabs. Again, the question was, it says in the beginning of the parasha, that there was silver that was donated, that was required. All donations were given voluntarily. No one was forced to give a donation. The gold, the copper, and the techeles, argamon, telashani, v'chulu, all given voluntarily. The only thing that you had to give was machzis hashekel. That was mandated. But people also gave donations of silver. They just gave silver donations. What did they use the silver for? For kilei shores. That's what Rashi says. The question has been posed to all the Gedolei Yisrael. What clay shoreis do we find in the Mishkan were made from silver? We don't find any silver, any clay shoreis made from silver. All of the clay shoreis were either gold or wood or copper. So there has not yet been found a satisfactory answer. The only suggestion is that maybe some of the bowls that were used to mekabel the dam and to bake, to make the menachos, and maybe the nesachim, the yayin, the nesachim, maybe they were silver, maybe yeah, maybe not. I want to suggest to you that the clay shoreis that were made from silver were the tools that were used to construct, to erect, and to disassemble the Mishkan. Although the pasuk, the very last pasuk of the parasha says nechoshes, and the pshutai shol mikra would be that the word nechoshes is going back on the entire pasuk, which means that the hammer and the screwdriver and the awl and the saw that was used to construct. It says to assemble. Rashi says here to put it up. To erect it and to disassemble. It doesn't say that the saw that was used to cut the ase shitim was a clay sharis, was used from this. There were tools that were used to be, but once the Mishkan was already built, there was an avoida of assembling it. Moshe Rabbeinu for 7 days assembled the Mishkan and took it apart. That was the chilek of the Avodah. In the desert, they traveled 42 journeys. Each journey, they disassembled and they assembled. Putting up the Mishkan was an Avodah. Putting up the Mishkan was an Avodah. And to put up the Mishkan, you need tools. The tools that were used to assemble the Mishkan were clay shoreis. It's an Avodah. I'm making the suggestion. Building the Mishkan, the saw, the hammer, the screwdriver you use to actually create the menorah, to create the akrashim, to create the shulchan, that's not a clay shoreis. That's just a tool you use in a shop, in a factory, to make the... But erecting the Mishkan, the avoida of putting the Mishkan up, Moshe did this on the seventh day of the Miluim. Moshe, every single day, he erected the Mishkan and he took it apart for 7 days. And then on Vayhi B'yom HaShmini, he put it up and they didn't take it apart. When they traveled... Let me finish the part. And then when they blew the shofar and they traveled in the Midbar, they took it down and then they put it back up. Putting up the Mishkan is an avoider. And when you do an avoider, you need kalim. Rashi says beferush, that's what it means. It says ulchol klei ha-mishkan, these were the tools that were used to assemble, to erect the Mishkan. And I'm trying to suggest, this is just a suggestion, is that although the end of the pasuk says nechoshes, the word nechoshes is not going on l'chol klei ha-mishkan. It's going on only the last part of the pasuk, as Rashi himself says, the pegs that they stuck into the ground were nagore nechoshes. But the beginning of the pasuk that says l'chol klei ha-mishkan, l'chol avoidosai, the avoida of assembling the Mishkan, and you need to use some tools to put it together, that was made from kesef. Why? Why would I want to say it was made from kesef? Because what does kesef symbolize? Kesef symbolizes ahava. It symbolizes kisufim, rachamim, ahava. In order to construct, to assemble, to build the Beis Hamikdash, to build the Mishkan, what are we being mispal for every single day when davening is over? Yirat Zemel Lefanach Hashem Elokeinu Olam Haseinu. Sheyibaneh Beis Hamikdash B'mehirav Yameinu. How do you say that? When you say those words, you say it with a cold heart, like a stone, or you say those words with some emotion, with kisufim, with yearning, a yearning that Hashem should rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. When you say Lashon HaBobim Yishlam HaBenuya, you say that with a midas hadin, with a cold heart, or you say it with rachamim, with kisufim, the rebuilding, the construction, the erection, which is an avoida. The building of the Mishkan, the building of the Beis HaMikdash is an avoida. You need clay shoreis to build it. What kind of clay shoreis? You're going to use barzel, iron, which is Makatzer Yama Vishanav Shaladam. You're going to use din, midas hadin. We'll get nowhere with midas hadin. It has to be done with rachamim, with a kisufim. So I'm trying to suggest that when it says in the beginning of the parasha, Rashi, they collected a nedava, voluntary collection, not the machsa shekel, kesef, and that kesef went for klei shoreis. We have no record anywhere of klei shoreis being used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash. Everything is accounted for. Everything is going to be gold or wood or nechoshes. Where then is there an opening to find the clay shoreis that can be made from silver that is not defined? So I'm suggesting, if you're going to say that the word nechoshes is not going on the entire pasuk, and Rashi says it was a hammer. Who says the hammer can only be for, has to be from nechoshes? You know, my sukkah, I have a sukkah. It comes with a rubber hammer. Anyone have one of those rubber hammers? Oh, yeah. I have pure a rubber, silver. It came, the sukkah came with a rubber hammer.
Pure silver is soft.
It's soft, not so soft. Pure silver is not so soft.
Instruments that bang.
So my answer is, the Mishkan, the whole structure of the Mishkan Bechlal is Lamal Lamiderech HaTeva. The whole Mishkan couldn't possibly stand. The Chazal make mention, the construction of the Mishkan and all the different things do not follow the rules of science. There is an element in the Mishkan that is l'mal l'mederech hateva. Yeah, all right, I'm saying it's a Jewish. I'm not telling you this. There is a very difficult question. Where are the clay shoreis? I'm suggesting the clay shoreis, what is kesef? Kesef in the eyes of the Balei Machshava refers to yearning, a yearning. What do we do every single day, three times a day? It shall be built. It should be assembled. It shall be built. The construction of the Beis HaMikdash is an avodah. It's not just, you know, a factory job. It comes pre-assembled, prefabricated. Moshe Rabbeinu, for 7 days, he assembled it and took it apart. Assembled it, took it apart. Vahi Bayam Hashmini, there was an avodah of assembling it. When they traveled in the Mikdash for 40 years, they assembled it and took it apart. It was an avodah. Here it says, L'chol klei ha-mishkon, b'chol avodah soy. Rashi here says, they needed tools. They needed a klei shares to do the avodah of assembling the Mishkan. Okay, you need klei shares, you need a hammer. I have a sukkah at home, and the sukkah comes with a rubber hammer. The sukkah, the hammer has to be only from Nechoshes. You'll tell me, well, the end of the pasuk says all of the pegs, the yisedos, yisedosav, yistos, and chotzer, the pegs. Rashi says that's right. They were copper nails they used to hold down the ureus. Very good. How come Rashi didn't say that? Why did Rashi only say the nagore nechoshes? Nagore, they were nagore that were used to push into the ground. Why did Rashi say nagore nechoshes? And yet, when it came to the makovos, when it comes to the hammers of assembling, Rashi doesn't tell you what kind of material it is. Rashi, it says in the pasuk the word nechoshes. It says nechoshes. Look at the whole pasuk in its entirety. The pasuk talks about two different types of things. We're dealing with a hammer to assemble the Mishkan. And the end of the pasuk talks about nails to stick into the ground to make sure that the curtains don't fly in the wind. The curtains that the chutz don't fly in the wind. And it says the end of the pasuk word nechoshes. So if I wouldn't know better, I would say the word nechoshes goes on the entire pasuk. You have a hammer that's made from nechoshes, and you have nails made from nechoshes. So when Rashi explains to us what both of these things are, it's not necessary for him to tell us that it's made from nechoshes. And in fact, when it comes to the neger, to the hammer, he doesn't tell us what kind of material it was made from. So why then does he tell us that the nails that they stuck into the ground, the pegs they stuck into the ground, was made from nechoshes? The same way Rashi didn't tell us what kind of material the hammer was made from, there's no need to tell us what kind of material the nails were made from. Yet Rashi says, the nails were made from nechoshes. The hammer doesn't tell us. The hammer, they needed a hammer for what purpose? To erect the Mishkan. And this is called the Kli. And this is an avodah, l'chol avodah asai. When you add up all the pieces together, Rashi alludes to the fact that when it says the word nechoshes, at the end of the pasuk, it's only referring to the pegs. But the hammer was not made from nechoshes. What then was it made from? Up for grabs. So by process of elimination, we know there has to be somewhere a klei shares that's made from silver, and everything else is accounted for, so this is the only thing left. This was made from silver. Why would you make the hammer from silver? Because you know what silver represents? It represents a yearning that there should be such a structure to bring for Hashem's divine presence a permanent location on this world. There has to be a yearning, and we say this every single day, that not said with a cold heart, that said with kisufim, the klei shares to build, to erect the Mishkan, are the silver klei shares that Rashi is referring to in the beginning of the parasha. Rabbi Neumann.
Like
to
bring a
riot
to you, and not that you need a
riot. I'm making a shachianu, you're making a riot to me? What? What do you say?
The plier that was built the
right.
Doesn't mention how it was done, but it was similar. The same tool was used to make it the first.
So what's the raya? What's
came
what's,
from?
What's the proof?
Svas.
I understand, Father, but that doesn't. What does it do with silver?
But to use the same idea, the same tool used to make what was already there.
I'm not talking about making a tool to make a tool. We're talking about there is a Mishkan and there is another avodah besides bringing korbanos.
Yeah.
In addition to bringing korbanos, in addition to doing the service, there is another avodah, and you know what the avodah is? It's the avodah of all of the avodahs. It's to erect. To put the Mishkan together. This is the ultimate avodah. to build the Mishkan. Moshe did this 8 days. And to do this, you can't do it. Rashi is telling us you can't do this with your bare hands. You have to do this with tools. You need tools to do the Mishkan. And that tool is a Kli Shoreis. If it's an avoida to build a Mishkan, l'chol avoida asoy, if there is an avoida building the Mishkan, you need tools to do the avoida. What is the tool? A hammer. What material did a hammer come from? There's only one thing that's not been accounted for, and that is the silver. That hammer was made from silver. Whether it worked or not, that's irrelevant. But it was a silver hammer. And that silver hammer, what does it represent? It represents the desire that there should be a Mishkan. Sheyibone beis hamikdash. Am I being clear? I'm not getting a good reaction here. Oh, what can I do? All right, let's go to another part. This is another, a little bit off the beaten track, this part. We have in the Mishkan, let's first do one thing at a time. We have in the Mishkan, the Rashi tells us, when they made the Urias, it was Maise Oireg. Maise Oireg, and Rashi says that it was done with incredible skill, where the weaver, the wind, that's another thing. That was the goat skin. But the wool, the ureus, the lowest, the pareches, and the curtain, and the ureus that covered the Mishkan, it was made from 24 strands of fabric. It was shamus. And when they would weave it together, they were images. And Rashi says, what were the images? On one side was a nesher. And on the opposite side was an ari. Two creatures are getting noticeable recognition in the Mishkan. Keruvim. It says they had keruvim all over the paroiches and the yirios. They were woven with incredible skill, where the image, the tsura of two creatures appeared, one opposite the other. When you pick up the cloth and you look at the image back to back, on one side you see a nesher, and when you go on the other side, in exactly that same place, it is woven with incredible chokhmah, you see the image of a lion. Question. Why these two animals? What happened to the caliph? We give last week parsha, we gave the dog a lot, we gave it a good meal. What happened to the shor, the ox? What happened to, why these two animals? What's so special about the Nesher? What? The Kisi Akavo. The Kisi Akavo, what are the four creatures? The Kisi Akavo?
Okay, these two.
Yeah, what else?
And the shor, which you're not going to use.
Why not? The eagle, they already did the eagle, okay.
Right.
And what else?
And man.
So put a picture of man.
Don't think so.
Why not? Put a portrait.
One like this.
All right. Why these two? So I want to suggest an idea.
To mention the United States thing.
An eagle. States. To mention who paid for it? Who paid for it? Like in Paras, it was the similar Paras. Who paid for this? Paid for you by Uncle Sam. What's going on? This. I want to make a very simple suggestion. What do we know about the Nesher? Vo'esa eschem. By the way, the Nesher is not a kosher bird. In fact, the Nesher is the most not kosher. It has no siman. It's the worst. And you're putting the Nesher on the Mishkan, the Mokum HaShuas HaShchina, HaYitach, and the Kisi HaKavoy? Okay, that's a side point. The Ari also is not a kosher animal. Okay, the lion also is not a kosher animal. Fine. But what do we know about the Nesher? Vo'esa eschem al kanfei nisharim vo'avi eschem elai. From all of the creatures that we know about in the entire Tanakh, the creature that provides the most mobility, the best, zero emissions, carbon,
no footprint,
no, okay, the best, the most efficient, the most powerful, the most comfortable source of mobility is the Nesher. Everyone knows the Targum Yonis Ben Uziel. It says that at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, when it says in the pasuk "Vo'es Eschem al Kanfei Nishadim," almost 3 million people boarded the Nesher. Okay, the gematria JetBlue, and they got on the Nesher, and they arrived very quickly, in a moment's notice, in Yerushalayim, and they ate the Karban, they ate the Karban Pesach. What?
That's what the Taimonim thought.
The Nesher, the airplane.
They came to Israel, they had never seen an airplane.
Airplane. That's what the Kanfei Neshadim. Everyone knows the famous Targum Yonas of Uziel, what it says in the Pasuk, Vo'es Esam al Kanfei Nisham, Vo'viyaschem Eloi, they all boarded Nisharim. There was a whole fleet of Nisharim there to take the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. And they ate there in the Holy Land, the Karban Pesach. And when they finished eating it, Hashem brought them back to Mitzrayim to go and to leave Mitzrayim on their own feet. Beregel, on their own feet. Okay? They do the real West. I was once in the car with a guy, and this guy was a very, very strange guy. And we were going back from Muncie, and I said, and I asked him, what do you think, we should go from Muncie to Brooklyn, should we go with the West Side Highway, or should we go with the FDR?
Yes.
So I said, you know, I'll tell you what. We'll first go with the FDR. Then we'll go back to the Palisades and do it again with the West Side. And then we'll decide which one was more pleasant. And then we'll go back again to the, and then we'll do it to the Yoytze. You know what's so sad? The guy really thought I was saying the truth. Now, so they went out of Eretz Yisrael. They came to Eretz Yisrael and they ate the Karban Pesach and they went back and they left on their own feet. To do it for real, to be Yitzhak, to be Yitzhak, that's right. So what do you learn from that pasuk? Forget about all the mysticism here. And humor aside, what do you learn from that pasuk? You learn the Nesher is the ultimate form, the ultimate driverless car, the ultimate jet. It's the ultimate mode of transportation, the best of the best. You can't do better than the Kanfei Nesharim. There's no mobile that can do what the Kanfei Nesharim can do for Klal Yisrael. What do you know about a lion? What does it say in the passage about a lion? Shochav, a lion lies down. Kora, it crouches. Koari, Yehuda. Yehuda, it says this about Yehuda. Yehuda is Shochav, he lies down. Kora, he crouches. Koari, mi yiki menu. Is there anyone in this world that has the power?
Shochav or Kora?
Yeah. Same thing. Shochaf, the lion lies down. Korah. Korah means the same thing. It means it's another word, a synonym, which means to lie down. To lie down, it crouches. Mi yikimenu. Is there anyone in this whole world that has the ability, the power, would dare try to stand up the lion? That it should move? That it should stand up? A lion, when a lion wants to sit in one location, you cannot get it to budge. The lion doesn't move. It is the most stable. It is the most stable position in the world. If you don't want to move, tie yourself down to a lion.
That sounds like a good idea.
Sit down on the back of a lion. If the lion doesn't want to move, it ain't going nowhere. There's no one that can budge. What?
I think that's the point. It doesn't run away.
Well, if you have a cat, get out of the way. You give it a kick, the cat is gone. You go, you're a pigeon. Just give it a kick, it's gone. Okay? Every creature, a person, you just look at the person, he'll walk out of the room. When it comes to all living creatures in this world, you can push them out. You can give them a little shove, they're gone. A lion is all of Hashem's creatures. If the lion doesn't want to go, it ain't going nowhere. An elephant you can get rid of. Look, they got rid of Trump. You don't get my joke? Okay, the symbol of the Republicans is the elephant. You don't get it? Okay. But every living creature, there is a technique. Where Rachel now he gets it, he doesn't like it.
That's a non-starter though.
Okay, sorry about that. I didn't mean to ruffle anyone's feathers. If you want to get someone, you want to get a creature, every creature, there's a way to get the creature. You know, there's a joke with a horse. There's a guy has a horse in the field, and the horse doesn't want to budge. A guy comes, goes, my horse doesn't want to move. No problem. Where do you want the horse? Where do you want the horse? I want the horse over there. No problem. I'll take care of this. The guy runs to shul.
He takes
the omud. He goes out into the field. Where do you want the horse again? He puts the horse, the omud, right there. And right away, the horse goes to the omud. Just, don't you know the ferret that goes to the omud?
Yeah, the ferret lifts him up.
Every creature has a technique. You can get them where they need to be. The only one you cannot budge is the lion. It's a pasuk. I'm not making this up.
Right.
It says it in the Torah. Shocha, kora, koari, uchilavi. Like a lion, and a lovey is another type of lion. Mi yikimenu. Who's going to get this creature up? Now we understand why on the Mishkan, mitzad echad is a nesher, mitzad sheni there is a lion. It captures the godless of Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael doesn't want to budge, they ain't going nowhere. And when Klal Yisrael wants to move. They go. They know where to go. They fly like a nesher. There are tekufos, there are dimensions, there are elements in Klal Yisrael of you don't budge, stubborn. The Mesoira, you don't budge. You don't change one mashal. You're loyal. Your loyalty is to be where you're supposed to be. There's no change, there's no movement. There are elements in Yadus. The stubbornness, there's no one as stubborn as the Jewish people. Ki am kishay oiref otter. That's a milo, to a degree, depending where. That's a milo. And then there's a time, you know, it's time to go home. It's time to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's time to return. It's time to move. It's time to travel. And when it's time to go, you go. V'esa eschem al kansei nisharim. Klal Yisrael, they capture space. Space. That's a space. There's a time to stay put. Al pi Hashem, now it's especially very appropriate in the Mishkan, because what happened in the Mishkan? Al pi Hashem, yachanu, v'al pi Hashem, Yisrael. According to Hashem's Dibur, we encamped. When the Anani HaKavod said, stop, we stop. How could we stop over here, middle of nowhere? Shochav kari, ukulavi miyukumen. Not moving nowhere. If Hashem wants you to stop here, that's Hashem's rutzon to stop. Al pi Hashem yisou. When the time comes to move, you move. The osa eschem al kanfei neshar. It's not a coincidence that these two are the images which decorate the Mishkan of HaKadosh, the Mishkan. The Mishkan represents the history of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, our is rooted in the in Ma'is of a similar bottom in the Mishkan, and in the Mishkan, Hashem takes us, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al Pi Hashem Yisrahu. There's no greater creature that captures Yachanu than the lion, and there is no greater creature that captures the purity and the totality of Yisrahu than the Nesher. And these two are two sides of the same fabric. Okay, let's go to another idea. One more idea. Ask the average person, what is the structure of the Mishkan? What keeps the Mishkan erect? Now we know that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they built Zuntai, Mishkan Shiloi. Mishkan Shiloi was made from stone. It was a stone structure, and they had curtains on top. Come. We know, of course, it goes without saying that the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Shem, was also made from stone. But in the Mishkan, what really supported, what supported the structure? The Krushim. Who's not going to tell you that the Krushim? When you ask a person, what are the walls made out of? What are the walls? The walls are the Krushim. Right? Atzei Shitim Oimdim. Oimdim Lo'ad Ul'yol Me'olamim. And who made the Krushim? The Krushim, how do they have Atzei Shitim to make this? Yaakov Avinu, Rashi says, in this parashah, Yaakov Avinu, he knew up in Ruach HaKodesh, they're going to have a Mishkan, they're going to need a structure, he planted the Atzei Rosh, and he told them, take it with you, you'll need it one day. Sure enough, we need it, we use it. So you'll ask the average person, what are the Krushim? The Krushim. If you read the psukim, it's very clear. It's not correct. The Quran, the walls of the Mishkan, of the structure, were the Urias. The Kurashim were only there as a Hechatimsa to hold them up. In other words, you go into over here, this room right over here. What are the walls? The walls of the Shidrach, right? The walls of the Shidrach. And there's wallpaper on the wall, and there's decorations. What's holding up these walls? Studs. So the walls of the Shidrach, and the studs, whether they're metal, whether they're wood, they are supporting the wall. So you and that is why maybe they're cinder blocks. Sometimes maybe I don't know what's behind these walls. Maybe they're cinder blocks. Could be they're cinder blocks. We don't look at the cinder blocks as being the walls. What do we see? We see the sheetrock, the walls. Now it's not a perfect analogy, but in the Mishkan, the walls were the Urias. Those were the real walls. The beautiful, elaborate crushing, although it was wall-to-wall, and it was plated with gold and silver sockets, and it was bars, there was an enormous amount of complexity that went into the crushing. You would think all this enormous, the cost is astronomical. The curtains were very cheap. How much did the curtains cost already? The Urias, whatever it cost. It didn't cost as a fraction of what the walls cost. Plated, I'd say sheeting, probably very expensive wood, the most expensive wood, with sockets of silver, plated with gold, with bars, five bars on each wall. The corners were very complicated. Astronomical amount of money went into this. Guess what? That's just an afterthought to what the main, the walls, the real walls, how do I know, how can I say such a thing? He says, maybe I'm pulling the wall over you, pun intended. Mm. how do I know that? Well, first of all, look at the order. In the Torah, we talk about the Kalim. Oh, let's now build a structure. What does the Torah present first? If you were writing this parasha, after you finish the menorah, what would you write? Okay, we finish all the Kalim. What would be the first thing on the agenda to talk about the structure?
The frame.
The crushing, right? Isn't that normal, right? Now is the crushing, and after we finish the crushing, then we'll talk about the covering, the ureas, the bottom level, the second level, the third level. Rashi says there was a fourth level, maybe one opinion. Isn't it super duper over the top bizarre that we first talk about we finish the menorah, v'yasamishkan ta'ase esa yirios, the yirios, and we go through all the levels, and then when we finish the yirios, a very long aliyah, the yirios, of yasisas akrashim, oh, excuse me, it should be the other way around, first the krashim, and then top of the krashim, you have the yirios. So that's number one. Number two, Rashi says the pefeish. Why? Rashi, v'yasamishkan ta'ase esa yirios, pasuk aleph, perichava, pasuk aleph, Rashi says the pefeish. What is the purpose? We overlook this Rashi. At least I overlook this Rashi. Let me find. Yes, Hamishkan Taz Es Yuriyos. Lihiyos Loi. What are the Yuriyos? Legag Ule Mechitzos. The purpose of the Yuriyos shall be a roof and walls. Walls. Michutz on the outside of Likrushin. He calls the Urias walls. Walls. Who's their walls? Would you call it a wall? I would call the Urias an ohel, a gag. When it comes to the next layer, the second layer, there he only calls it an ohel. And the third layer was mam, it didn't even go over. It covered the second layer covered the walls. The third layer just is an ohel. He calls it beferish a mechitza. Which gives you the impression, based on these two questions together, the ikar wall, the structure of the Mishkan, were the Urias. The Krushim, very nice. It may cost millions and billions of dollars. That's just like the studs behind the Shirak over there.
What's that, like a sukkah?
What?
It's the same idea.
A sukkah's walls. There's no difference. The sukkah, there's only one, then there's a wall. You know, we don't talk about what's here. The Torah over here is telling you that in this wall, there are two components. There's the support, and there's the real wall. The real wall are the areas. That's the machitza. What is keeping it up? What magic? You say Hashem, Hashem, and it floats in the air? No. You need al derech hateva, so you need there to be some krushim that are arranged in a certain way to keep it standing. I'll even prove another point. When you build, you ever build a log house when you were a kid? A log house, those toys. How do you make a log house? You chop down trees, and the logs are horizontal.
Yeah.
Horizontal.
Yeah.
This is atzei shitim. This is a log house, but the logs are standing vertical. No one builds a building by making a log house. You take the trees and you stand them up. That's not the way you build a log house. You build a log house sheichlis, sheichlis, not oindas. Asay shitim oindim. It's just trying to show, this is not the wall. There are many reasons why it says oindim, but one of the reasons why I'm trying to suggest, the reason why it says oindim and doesn't say sheichlim, the way you would ordinarily build such a structure, is because don't be misled for one second that these beams here are your wall. This is not the way you make a wall. You put beams standing, studs, as support for a real wall. If this is your real wall, if you're making a wall out of cinder blocks, out of logs, then it should be sheichlis. It should be the other direction. The fact that it's standing, it's just a support for the ikar. What's the ikar? The ikar is the yuyas. Three riots. The fact that the wood, the atzei shitim, is not in the correct position indicates that we're not here to be the wall. We're here to be a support. The fact that it's presented, written in the Torah second, also shows that it's not the ikar, it's just a support for what the ikar is. And the fact that Rashi says, beferish, that it's a machitza. You would think it's a cover. It's a cover which happens to cover all the way down. No, Rashi says it's a machitza. What am I trying to bring out? What's really the difference between the atzei shitim, the krushim, and the yuyas? There's a very big difference. The krushim came to us by who? The ovens. Yaakov Avinu, he gave us the krushim. Rashi says beferush. Where do they have the atzei shitim? Yaakov Avinu, he planted atzei shitim in Eretz Kanaan. He took it to Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, they took it out with them. The krushim are the ovens. The urios. No one gave us urios. No one gave us nothing. Nothing. They took whatever they had. They probably took from their Karban Pesach, the wool that grew out of their Karban Pesach. The wool that grew from the Karban Pesach. They made the Techeles, our Gavon. It was all manufactured by Bnei Yisrael themselves. This is a dogma. Musa Haskel, the Osuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Soicham. Every person, every generation, every person has to make for themselves their own bias. You have to make for yourself your own mechitzas. The foundation of your mechitzas are the others. The studs that support your bias, the yesodos, the foundation, this is the Messiah. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. But you can't live in a house that only has studs. You have to put up the walls. You have to build your own bias. The Urios were crafted by Bnei Yisrael with beauty. Each chut had 24 threads. Each chut had to be spun. Every possible material had to be woven, had to be designed to have a nesher on one side. Enormous amount of koichos hanefesh. To resource the materials, to spin it, to create it, to bring it all together, to produce a product, a gag and mechitzas. It's your avoda, your contribution, not the others. Don't sit back and rely upon the zuchus avos. You need the avos, they're the foundation. They're going to support you. But you have to build your own bias. You have to build your own gag. You have to build your own mechitzas. The others are there behind you, supporting you, sustaining you. But you have to be a participant. in building your own mokoyim in this world. Thank you for coming and listening. Rabbi Yisai, have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. I'm going to have a